No.
Okay, very good. Guess what? My PowerPoint was awesome. It really kind of messes some things up for me, but that's all right. I'll try to do my best. When I was a child, we didn't have these little pamphlets that schedules. What we had was, in the morning, Lowell Herman, or maybe another deacon, but I just remember Lowell Herman. He was in this room right here, and he had a big board and a bunch of little white letters. And there, he was busy in there every Sunday morning putting names on this board. And then he'd bring out this easel and he'd put it right over there. And then he'd bring out this big, huge board, put it up there. And you'd see opening prayer, Bernd Engel. Songs, Nels Turnquist. And you'd see it all go down the line. And the second to last thing that was on the board was a word that I had not seen before. Using my phonics, I was really young. Exhortation. Hey, Mom, what's exhortation? I didn't know, and I really don't remember what Mom told me what exhortation was. But I knew it was a big word, a word I didn't understand. But what exhortation is encouraging, is to encourage, is to call out, to do something. That's what encouraging is. Next slide. My next slide, you've all seen this picture, where there's a frog in the stork's mouth. And he's got his hands around the stork's neck. And the caption is, never give up. The frog, personally, you'd think, oh, the frog's in the bird's mouth, he's done for. But he's got his hands wrapped around the neck. And one of two things is going to happen. That frog's going to get tired of holding that neck. Or the bird's not going to be able to breathe, and he coughs up the frog, and the frog's free to go. That's why you never give up. That's why you never give up. And the first time I saw that picture is when my mom got into a serious accident down in southern Iowa. She went off the road. She rolled her van. She hit a big culvert. She was a wreck. And my brother Tony and my dad were all at Mercy Hospital. We're all standing in the hallway outside of emergency. You know, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? You just don't know. Mom gets moved into the ICU. And in the ICU is one of those whiteboards. Whiteboards, I guess is what you call them. And Dad draws that picture up there. Never give up. He was encouraging her. Don't give up. Don't give up. Well, recently I watched a video with my brother-in-law, Scott Papan. And if you remember a coach in 1983... Jimmy Valvano. Anybody remember Jimmy Valvano? Of course, most of the Hawkeye fans in 1983 were pretty excited because Lute Olson took the Hawkeyes to the Sweet 16. But Jimmy Valvano, Jimmy V took his team, North Carolina State, to the NCAA championship game. He was a number 6 seed in that game, in the Western Division, and they were very unlikely to win it all. They were very unlikely. They might have gone deep into the tournament, but it was unlikely that they were going to win the whole thing, especially with the teams that they had to face. But if you remember that game, in the closing minutes, North Carolina State was about 10 points behind to Houston. But Jimmy's strategy was this. We're going to foul these guys because they're poor free throw shooters. And we're going to get the rebound. And we're going to come back. And they did. Houston missed all their free throws. They missed them. And they were able to rebound them. And within minutes, North Carolina State was able to tie the game. And in the last second, right before the buzzer, Derek Wittenberg shoots a 30-foot jumper, and everybody could see that it was off the mark. It wasn't going to hit it. And out of nowhere, Lorenzo Charles comes in, grabs the ball, slams dunk right before the buzzer. They win! Jimmy goes crazy. They're all excited. The whole country was, wow, this is the best. This is the best comeback game in college history. And it was. It was. They were unlikely to win. Houston had Akeem Olajuwon on their team. You remember Akeem Olajuwon, Houston Rockets? Houston was going to win. And here comes some nobodies from North Carolina State. Jimmy went on to have a very colorful career. But as I was watching this video, it was in 1993. Jimmy V was standing up in the ESPYs, and he had won the Arthur Ashe Award. This was about a month before he dies of cancer. In this speech, his body is just filled with tumors, filled with cancer. He needs help getting up to the podium. He needs help coming down from the podium. And in this speech, I could see the great basketball coach in him. He had wit. He had humor. He had encouraging words. He had enthusiasm. I could see that Jimmy had the ability to instruct without tearing you down. I would have loved to have been in that locker room with Jimmy V before that game. I would have loved to have been in that locker room at halftime, listening to him instruct his boys before they went back out and took the court. I would have loved to have seen his enthusiasm, his ability to instruct without tearing down. I would have loved to have seen that. Jimmy in this speech had a great speech. He had a great speech. There's something that I'm going to tag into here real quick. It's important for me because I don't think that I wrote this down in my notes. But I want you guys to think about this. Something that he's quoted as saying. But before I go there, I want us to kind of think about being in the locker room before a game. I think about my time in high school, being in a locker room before a game. We're all getting prepared for the game. Some of them are wearing Sony Walkmans, and they got the big fat headphones on, listening to the music, getting themselves prepared. Coach comes in right before the game, gives us some X's and O's, remember this, and then he gives us the Newt Rockne speech. He gives us the Newt Rockne speech. Win one for the Gipper, boys. We all kind of can imagine that. And there's similarities. There's similarities in this locker room, being in this locker room before a game and an exhortation. There's similarities here. And in a basketball game, when we're getting ready for the game, we know that during the game, we're going to have to play offense and we're going to have to play defense. We know there's going to be times when we're going to be ahead. We know there's times when we're going to be behind. We know that in the game, we're going to commit fouls. We know that during the game, we're going to have some successes. We're going to have some easy layups. We know that in the game, we're going to face adversity. And we also know that when we face adversity, we need to overcome that adversity. This is just like now, the exhortation. We're in the locker room. We're about ready to take the court for the next 7 days. In this 7 days, we're going to play offense. We're going to play defense. We're going to commit fouls. We're going to be ahead. We're going to be behind. We're going to have successes. We're going to make great plays. All of those things are going to happen to us in the next 7 days. Just like they would happen to us on a basketball court. And here's what I want to take from Jimmy V's speech and what he says. He says, When people say to me, how do you get through life or each day? Well, it's the same thing to me. There are three things we all should do every day. We should do this every day of our lives. Number one, we need to laugh. You should laugh every day. Number two is to think. You should spend some time in thought. Number three is you should have your emotions move to tears. Could be happiness, could be joy. But think about it. If you laugh, if you think, and if you cry, that's a full day. You do that for the next 7 days, you're going to have something special. It's interesting to me how we see godly principles in the world. And we see that these men, we don't know if they're Christians or not, but they come up with these principles and everybody's like, wow, that's awesome. But these are godly principles. And we are doing them today. When we meet as the saints, do we laugh together? Yes, we do. Jason made sure that we laughed. He took what could have been a bad, embarrassing moment, and he made it light. That's what I love about Jason. That's what I love about my wife. I'll sit there and I'll look at that situation, I'm like, oh, you idiot. And she'll make some comment and make it funny. Ah, you're right. We should laugh. We should think. Did we meditate just a little bit ago? We meditated during the Lord's Supper, didn't we? We thought about a sacrifice that was given for us that shows us love. We thought about blood that represents a new covenant. A covenant that should bring us joy. A covenant that our sins are going to be forgiven. We meditated on those things. And our emotions have been stirred through song. Speak to one another in psalms, songs, and spiritual songs. Ephesians 5:19. Remember that? When we speak to one another, we're encouraging one another. Songs stir emotions in us. I know this because when we sing certain songs here, I think of my mother and my father. I think of Ori Brady. I think of a lot of different people that have gone on before me. In these songs, I also think of different things that have happened to me. Where I was, where I am, and where I'm going to be. Those emotions get stirred. It's not a strange concept. It's a godly concept. Every day, laugh. Every day, meditate. Every day, have your emotions move. So this morning, as we sit in the locker room, I want you to remember to never give up. I want us to remember a weird, weird word. Rewop. Rewop. R-E-W-O-P. Rewop. Remember, everything, always, works out perfectly. Remember, everything always works out perfectly. Nothing shows this concept to me more than the Exodus. The story of the Exodus, the events leading up to the Exodus, and the events after they left Egypt. The children of Israel were oppressed by a mean Pharaoh, made them work hard. They wanted to give up, but God sent them a helper, Moses. And Moses worked time and time again with God, going to Pharaoh.
Let my people go.
Right? Remember that? And the plagues, all of these things, were to show who God was. Moses didn't give up. Some of the children of Israel didn't give up. Some of the children of Israel had the deer in the headlights look. They're like, oh man. Here we go again, Moses. You're making things worse for us. And then finally, remember, Pharaoh said, get out of here after the last plague. Get out of here. So Moses packs them all up. They all get ready and they're all going. But they don't leave a normal way. They don't head north out of Egypt. They head toward the Red Sea. What? What are you doing? Why are we backing ourselves up against the Red Sea? This is kind of like that frog in the mouth of the bird. Man, we're gone! He's going to come after us, and he's going to slaughter us. Even Pharaoh was sitting there going, look at these guys going to the Red Sea. You know what? They're so dumb, they deserve to die. The people grumbled, and they lost faith. But what happened? As Pharaoh started coming after them, he was blockaded by God. The water separated. The children of Israel went through on easy, dry ground to the other side. And as the Egyptians came through, they got into the middle of it all, and the waves crashed down on them and killed them all. The pursuers were gone. The children of Israel were finally free. Moses never gave up. He knew God had a plan. He rewopped. He remembered that everything always works out perfectly. To me, one of the purposes of the Old Testament that stands out the most to me is the don't give up. Don't give up. The children of Israel would grumble. Remember, they grumbled soon after that. Oh, you brought us out here to the wilderness to die. We ain't got no food. What are you going to do now? Boom, manna, quail, boom. They're taken care of. What about the judges? What about Gideon? Gideon's story is amazing. They won with very little people. And we have stories like this riddled throughout the whole Old Testament, reminding us to never give up. Did David give up when he saw Goliath? I can't imagine being David going up against this big, huge giant laughing at me, saying, what is this, a joke? Am I a dog that you're going to send this little boy after me? God taught the Philistines a lesson, didn't he? He taught the children of Israel a lesson. Look, I'm God. I'm going to take care of this. This is my fight, not your fight. That's what he told Jehoshaphat, right? When the Ammonites and those were surrounded him and they were going to conquer him, God said, hey, guess what? This ain't your fight. This is my fight. I'm going to take care of it. God take care of it? Yes, he did. And Jehoshaphat and his army didn't have to do a thing, and they won. God likes to make the impossible possible. And this should remind us all that everything is going to work out perfectly. As we prepare to go from the locker room to the court, we're going to make some fouls. We're going to have some great plays. We're going to have to face some adversity. But we're also going to have to remember rewop. We're going to have to remember to calm down and not be nervous. We're going to have to remember Psalms 46 and 10. Psalms 46 and 10 says, be still and know that I am God. My name will be exalted among the earth and among the heavens. And is God's name exalted? Yes, it is. Because still today we're talking about the Exodus. We're still talking about David and Goliath. We're still talking about all the different judges. Is his name exalted? Of course it is. It is exalted. I'm going to leave you today with a song that I like to hear. I like to listen to. It's a song that's sung by a woman named Laura Story. It's called Blessings. It reminds me to never give up. Because the tough times, guess what? Maybe they're blessings from God. Maybe it's His way of maturing me so that I can do His will. We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your might, we pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while, you hear each spoken need, yet love us way too much to give us lesser things. Because what if our blessings come through raindrops? What if our healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know that you are near? What if trials of this life are mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each desperate plea and long that we'd have faith to believe. Because what if blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? Sorry, this song makes me cry a lot. What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, when we know that pain reminds this heart that this is not our home. It's not our home. Because what if blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or aching of this life is the revealing of greater thirst this world cannot satisfy? What if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise? I get kind of upset. I probably shouldn't get upset. Maybe upset's not the real word. But it bothers me when people say, Kelly, you're accident prone. I've had a lot of accidents, yeah. But what if they're blessings in disguise? Each and every incident that has happened to me has been a learning experience. And you know what? I come out of them smelling like a rose. Do you disagree? So let's change the way that we look at adversity. Let's change the way that we look at the challenges. Let's change the way that we look at disappointments. Let us see them as God wants us to see them. That's my lesson. I hope it's encouragement. I hope I exhorted you. Because I exhorted me all over again. We're going to offer a gospel invitation. If there are any in this room that would like to be baptized, or maybe you have a problem that you would like to have some help with, we're going to offer this time while we stand and sing for you to come forward.